Where is my office anyway? It's a question many of us are asking these days as we try to navigate a post-pandemic hybrid work reality. But the connections between place and productivity are deep, so figuring out where and how we're working is going to be critical for the economy. At the leading edge of this question is the commercial real estate sector, which is struggling to plan for the future of how we'll work. Here with some insights are Chris Kane and Eugenia Anastasiou, authors of Where's My Office? Reimagining the Workplace for the 21st Century. Chris has worked in the corporate real estate sector for over 30 years as the Vice President of International Corporate Real Estate for the Walt Disney Company and Head of Corporate Real Estate at the BBC, among other roles. Eugenia is a journalist who's written extensively on the post-pandemic working environment. Here they are.
Hello, I'm Eugenia Anastasiou, and along with my writing partner, Chris Kane, we're going to share our five insights from our new book, Where is My Office? Over the next 15 minutes, our podcast will be a mixture of interview and conversation, where I will play the role of interviewer and introduce the book's five key insights, which Chris will expand on. First, let me tell you a bit about myself. My background is in journalism, and up to 4 years ago, I didn't know anything about the curious world of commercial real estate and workplace strategy. I started working with Chris because, as a lifelong commercial real estate veteran, he wanted my help to tell his story to the wider business world and to the public. As for Chris, he has had a 30-year-plus career in commercial real estate, and he's held senior positions in global firms such as JLL, the Walt Disney Company, and the BBC. He is uniquely placed because his career has spanned the role of both providing real estate and being on the client side, plus working in both the public and private sectors. This has given him the ability to see both sides of the landlord and tenant world, which makes our story compelling, especially now that the subject of the future of commercial real estate, offices, and the way we work has become such a hot topic. Let's dive into the five insights we wish to share with listeners of the next Big Idea Club. One of the insights is, how has consumer choice hit both bosses and landlords? And what does that mean for both sides of the equation?
Thank you, Eugenia. Consumer choice has been a feature of the wider economy for some time now, but it's really taken the pandemic to bring home to the narrow world of commercial real estate and indeed to the world of office occupiers that not only has the game changed, but the entire stadium has changed. Because if you look back over the last century, if you will, since large-scale offices started to emerge, it was a given that as an office worker, you had no choice but to go to your desk in a downtown location, for example. It was simply non-negotiable. And similarly, in terms of the real estate world, landlords presumed that their tenants had no choice. And, you know, even before the pandemic, that was starting to change, particularly if you're in the C-suite, when with the arrival of WeWork, in terms of the flexible office provider, not just real estate folk within companies, but their bosses and their bosses' bosses realized that consume space differently rather than having to buy a building or take a long leasehold commitment on a building and spend millions of dollars fitting it out. But what really happened, I think, as a result of the pandemic, when everyone was forced to experiment with working from home, many bosses were surprised that it worked pretty well, and productivity levels, for the most part, weren't negatively affected. So we have this double dilemma, this twin dilemma for both landlords and for bosses, that the world has been upended in the context of this whole not only office working model, but the world of commercial real estate, which presumed that large corporates would always have to lease space in CBDs. And I think it's been so different that we need really different, fresh perspectives. And that was one of the things we've explored in the book around accepting that the status quo has changed and we need to go and find fresh perspectives. You know, take, for example, commuting. It's now a choice rather than a chore.
Another insight number two, In the book, we have written about the ways we now connect have become multidimensional. What exactly do you mean by that? And how does it affect the ways we work?
Well, I building upon what I was just saying, that the long-established sort of cherished beliefs of how we work. We live somewhere in the suburbs or out of town. We commute. We go to our desk. That was a given, and that's all been upended by the pandemic. During that dreadful period when we were locked down right across the world, we all had to employ necessity as the mother of all invention. And, who would have thought that things might change, such as we always presumed we had to see our doctor face to face. Video calls are now another option of seeing your MD. You always presumed that you had to go to school, to college, to attend classes and lectures in person. That's all changed. And also going to a downtown office, like many people around the world, suddenly woke up to say, why would I commute just to sit at a desk, just to send emails? So we can do all of these things, on a global basis and at scale. Who would have thought both our grandparents and our grandchildren would be equally comfortable with Zooms and Teams? They have now become part of common parlance. So all of these new alternatives for many have opened up a whole range of how we could do work differently. And I think we're seeing the emergence of a new model of work, possibly a four-day week, possibly a whole raft of other permutations we've yet to realise. And this has significant implications for how one not only provides but uses commercial real estate. You take, for example, San Francisco or downtown Manhattan. There's been really big, significant vacancies. Will people ever go back to the office? But one of the key things we've identified in our book is the importance of understanding the link between people and place.
Insight number three is that one of the things we've explored in the book is how COVID has removed the last obstacles to a truly digital way of living.
Yeah, well, as I was saying a few minutes ago, everyone uses Zoom and Teams, but we're only beginning to understand what the true implications of people right around the world thinking about how to do things differently. And this is implications for both bosses and for landlords. And, if you look at it, we've been on a journey anyway for the last 20 years, moving completely from analog to digital. But many of the digital opportunities or features of life pre-COVID just weren't sticking because people, by and large, whether you be a boss, a landlord, or an office worker, or a policymaker, human nature said, we just don't know how to cope with all of this stuff. And as a result of having to cope with these challenges of using digital technology to better connect during the lockdown, we've now discovered that we can do things differently. Like one of the things which is yet to be written about is the pandemic for many businesses meant the death of paper. Lawyers, for example, now accept digital signatures. Everyone is much more comfortable with PDF versions rather than actual hard copy. And that's a huge implication for the world of office work. And, think about how many filing cabinets you don't need anymore, for example. And that's just the small tip of the iceberg in terms of many young people coming on into the workforce now are completely digital native and they don't need pencil and paper, or so they say. That's a matter of discussion for sure. But, we don't quite understand yet what the true implications are. And it's a period of, I think, experimentation. So that's where I'm on that one.
Insight number four. In the book, we acknowledge that hybrid and or flexible styles of working are here to stay. But that's only part of the picture. Can you expand a little on that?
Well, Many people in the media talk about hybrid as this new invention. In reality, hybrid's been around for decades, and it's really only come into the mainstream now. But I don't think many bosses really expected it to work as well as it did. But I think blended would be a better description for a mix of working, in that we're still fixated with having one place of work. And as we were saying earlier, we think, and you know, events are proving us right, that work is now becoming more and more multidimensional. And maybe blended is a better description of a mix of working any place, anywhere, any time. And it's not just a binary choice of the mothership office and working from home, because most people may not be able to work from home because they simply haven't got the space. And that gives rise to a whole raft of alternative options. You know, for years we've been talking about third spaces, cafes and restaurants, etc., but also local workshops. And I think we're going to see a huge explosion of multidimensional work, something similar to what happened in the retail sector 10, 15 years ago with the birth of omnichannel marketing. We explore and describe in the book the whole concept of trying to look at this across multiple dimensions. And that's what, you know, we would label omni-working, which is a mix of, you'll still have offices, which would be the fixed component. You may well have service and flexible operations such as the WeWorks and the Regis's and the IWG's and the Huckletree's, but also you will have fluid. And the working week, the 9-to-5 model, is in its last chapter. We're seeing more and more people experimenting with the metaverse. And even in the last 3 to 6 months, we've seen this huge introduction of ChatGPT. What's that going to do to organizations and how they structure themselves? It'll be a whole heap of brand new jobs, but it will mean, I think, a reduction in overall footprint, and it'll mean a greater reliance or interest in, shall we say, in terms of the matters which might fall into the fluid side of things. So we're looking at a truly multidimensional proposition here.
Insight number 5. What should business leaders and managers be doing to navigate this huge transition, which is playing out globally?
It's a real nightmare, I think, not only for bosses, but for the real estate industry, who have relied upon tried and tested models and templates around how to do things. Because at its core, I think one of the things that really struck us when we were writing this was that for those of us who were born in the 20th century, we were all accustomed to homogenized, one-size-fits-all thinking. And that's gone out the window now. We are seeing a new model of office working emerging. It'll be based, for many, on a fixed, flex-fluid spectrum. And I think we really need to join up the dots between all of the siloed thinking of people, place, leadership, and technology. I think we're in the world of experimentation. Maybe when the history books are written of about this period, they will describe it as the 21st century workplace renaissance, where you will see maybe possibly the uberization of work and of the workplace. But as we explore in the book and provide some, you know, frameworks for such, if we accept that one size fits all is over, then we need to experiment. And to start off, we all need to start asking the right questions in that respect. And we need to think about not just moving away to have a greater focus, not just on profit, but to purpose, to move to a better focus on stakeholder value rather than purely shareholder value. Maybe to shift our thinking of a return on cost to one based upon a return on people. And, you know, as we said in the book, the real purpose of a building is to enable the business to be successful. And that means that the people working within it must have a great workplace experience. And that means engagement. And that means also making smarter use of the built environment. And I think, you know, if you look at all of that, we hope our listeners to this podcast have, listening to all of that, we hope listeners to this discussion between Eugenia and I hope you've got some food for thought. Hopefully our insights make sense. It's really important to us that we start asking ourselves the right questions, because it's really important for not only us, but for our children to make better use of the built environment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris and Eugenia. That was Chris Kane and Eugenia Anastasiou with key insights from Where's My Office? Reimagining the Workplace for the 21st Century. Also, check out our BookBite for Out of Office, The Big Problem and Bigger Promise of Working from Home by Charlie Warzel and Anne Helen Peterson. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.